What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And I hope you are checking out my TikTok now at Farley Betts, because we're putting out a lot of free picks there. We're also putting a lot of free picks out at FarleyBets.com. Check it out over there every single day. Most days of the week, we're putting out free picks. And these picks are premium picks too, right? My premium members are getting those. We're winning a lot, 3-0 in the NBA last night on Wednesday, 1-2 on the bases, so we put up a few more free picks on Thursday, and today on Friday, we'll see what's up. Haven't yet decided that, but because I'm recording this early in the morning, but hey, this podcast, this bi-weekly, which I think means every other week. That's what I thought it meant. It means twice a week, right? Every Wednesday and Friday, we join you, talk about sports betting philosophies and strategies in a way that you could actually comprehend it, go over some free picks, talk about the NBA and the NFL mostly, but we cover a lot of sports as a pro handicapper. Fifth place Circa winner in 2021, 114K cash prize, 57% career percentage in the NBA, and been doing this for a little while. Had quite a few wins under my belt, 150 units up in three seasons in the NBA. Also, this podcast is brought to you by BetUS Sportsbook. Go over there to BetUS and use promo code Farley125. That's FARLEY125 and get 125% bonus in your first time deposit. If you do that, you help out this podcast, continue to run, continue to give out free picks. But I'm also helping you out, right? Even if you have DraftKings or FanDuel or another sportsbook, BetUS Sportsbook is a great one to have. I found them very advantageous in the NFL season. Great lines, especially for underdogs. And you want to shop lines, right? You want to have multiple sportsbooks that you use. They're giving you 125% bonus. That's more money than you're putting in, doubled, even more, so that you can put down more wagers and win more money for your bankroll. So check it out. Farley125 is the promo code over there. We have a fantastic show today because Eric Rocco, Trust Rocco, at Trust Rocco on Twitter, is on this pod to talk about his perspectives in the NBA and Major League Baseball. Has some great things to say in baseball especially, and I love that because summertime is around the corner. Basketball is about to go away, and we need to get a better feel for the majors as I personally start to bet that a little bit more as well. We're still up units in soccer. We're catching up in baseball. And Eric Rocco is going to help us all catch up a little bit in the NBA and in baseball. I don't really have much of a rant today. I love our podcast with Eric Rocco. Check him out at the Odds Breakers, by the way. He's a constant writer over there. I'll just say this. Do not count out the New York Knicks or the Golden State Warriors. It's not a farce that the Knicks were able to find some offense. They were a pretty good offense all season, number four in offensive efficiency. And if they found some kind of rhythm, if they figured something out, which looked like to me, it was just attacking, right? Attack the front court, attack the paint, draw fouls for yourself, and be a little more physical, get under that rim, block out Jimmy Butler, for Christ's sake, and have a little bit of poise. And, of course, Jalen Brunson helped with that as well. But don't count out the Knicks. Don't count out the Warriors, certainly. Championship DNA. Now Anthony Davis a little bit injured. And as I record, I'm actually recording this on Thursday. So tonight is the Suns and Nuggets. And tonight is the, who the hell is it? The Celtics and the 76ers. I don't think the 76ers are going to close it out tonight. Necessarily, right? Like if I wanted to bet, I would bet on the 76ers. But we'll see. And I guess when you listen to this, you already know what happens. It'll be Friday. But that's an interesting series. I mean, don't be surprised either if the Suns win game six, because they've been great at home. And that's another high scoring game, another Devin Booker, Kevin Durant game. And we get game sevens in both the Celtics 76ers and Nuggets and Suns series, which is great. This is great TV, right? All these series going deep. They're keeping us paid, right? Plenty to talk about. So great basketball on right now. I guess if I'm thinking about the Friday slate, just thinking ahead, going back to Miami, the Knicks are going to need to bring it all and more so. I would favor an under in that game. Miami's defense has been unbelievable at home, but I did see some improvement from the Knicks defense as well in game five. So I would look at an under in that one. As far as the Warriors and Lakers go, that's all about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has been protecting the rim in elite fashion, you know, playing some of the best basketball in the NBA right now. But he got a little banged up at the end of that game. We'll see how ready he is for game six. But LA at home, I think the Lakers might do it. You know, my heart wants to say Golden State. I love the way they fight. But the Lakers at home, how they run in transition, how they play half-court defense, the leadership that LeBron is bringing every game. I mean, he's exhausted, right? He's tired. But they absolutely want to close this out at home. So the Warriors are going to really have to play A-plus basketball to beat the Lakers. I'm not sure if they do it. I would have to lean Lakers right now, but that's not an official play for me. With that being said, it's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. At Trust Rocco, Eric Rocco, Sports Mission, writer for the Odds Breakers, and increasingly a great betting presence, a gambling Twitter presence out there in social media. Ladies and gentlemen, at Trust Rocco talks NBA and MLB. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am very excited to have another new guest on Laying the Points. And this is a guy I've been following for a little while now, a newer writer at the Odds Breakers. He can tell you how long he's been there now, but I've been watching his stuff on Twitter. He tracks his record very transparently and turns out pretty damn sharp in the NBA and MLB. Handicapped some horse racing too, which is pretty cool. Ladies and gents, I introduce Eric Rocco to you. You can follow him on Twitter, which I love this Twitter handle, at Trust Rocco. That's R-O-C-C-O. With a name like Rocco, I feel like you should be betting. I love that name. Eric Rocco, how did you get into this crazy sports betting industry? And welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts.
First off, Chris, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be on your podcast, a podcast I've listened to for a long time and I've personally learned a lot from. So for me to be on this, it's kind of surreal right now to be, you know, face-to-face with you, voice-to-voice with you. It's cool. How did I get into it? Well, oh God, where to start? If you go on the Odds Breakers and you look at my bio article about me, one of the first sentences you're going to read is, I have a wealth of gambling knowledge. And every gambler is going to say that. Every handicapper says that. But when I say that, I actually mean it. I spent, you know, 7 years in a casino dealing blackjack, dealing all kinds of table games. And, I mean, if it wasn't for the smoke and the crappy hours, I'd probably still be doing it. But you know what? I'm glad I got out of that business. It wasn't for me. The money was good, but it just wasn't for me. So I had almost a decade in the casino business. I spent 3 years as a jockey agent representing different jockeys at different tracks across the country. So I have tons of knowledge in the parimutuel industry, which is where the horse racing articles come from and all my horse racing knowledge. And then I also, this is the crazy one, I spent 6 years as a professional highlight player.
A pro what player?
Professional highlight player.
Okay, if you're many not people from probably won't know what that is. Yeah, good. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, if you're not from Connecticut or Florida or Spain, you're really not going to know what it is. It's kind of a dying sport, which is why I had to get out of it. I would have loved to play it, you know, most of my adult life, but unfortunately it was a dying industry. It's a parimutuel bet sport, similar to horse racing or dog racing. And it's a big wicker shaped basket. You throw the ball against the wall, kind of like racquetball, but picture a much bigger court and a harder ball, and the ball goes 150, 200 miles an hour. It's a crazy sport. When it was popular in the 70s and 80s, I mean, there'd be 5,000-10,000 people at the arena watching us play professionally and betting on us and screaming at us and yelling at us and cussing at us. So that's kind of where I got my thick skin from, which in this new industry that I'm in with sports betting, you got to have thick skin because these guys are ruthless.
Oh, yeah. I love that, man. Wow. So, yeah, because you're so right too, right? I mean, and it's a burgeoning marketplace, sports betting. It's very much in its infancy stage as far as, you know, the way that it's going to unwind in the marketplace in all these different states. And, you know, recreational bettors are obviously most of the market. But then you still got people who have been doing this for quite some time before it was also popular. And so I feel like if you were part of that world, you know, yesteryear, whether it's 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever, you have some idea of when this, you know, this stuff was raw, right? The marketplace wasn't so sharp. Things weren't, you know, information wasn't flowing everywhere. So you had a really like unadulterated, genuine experience with it at first. I know for me, started about 10 years ago. It was a bet in Vegas and the Lakers in the third quarter. And ever since, I've been like, damn, I love this stuff. I love the psychology behind it. You know, and obviously you have to control your, you know, you got to practice discipline in this game. But it is definitely something that's been around a long time, but that doesn't mean that everybody necessarily has real experience in it. So very cool telling us about your background. You know, I like to keep these podcasts within 30 minutes. So we're going to stroll right along here and get into the NBA. Check out Eric Rocco's articles at theoddsbreakers.com. His content is all the time, just churning content out over there. I know Kiev loves that. It's a great website over there. I genuinely miss it sometimes, obviously trying to do more of my own thing. But you do a fantastic job over there, Eric.
And let's talk I appreciate that, Chris. Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
Let's talk about that. That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate that.
Of course. These NBA playoffs. Okay, so we're recording this Wednesday, me and Eric, but it's going to go live on Friday. So we're not going to necessarily talk about picks for today or tomorrow, but I want to get your thoughts, just general thoughts on the NBA playoffs and the way you're handicapping and looking at these teams. Let's start with these Warriors who play tonight on Wednesday. I think they're going to win. They're 7-point favorites. But then, of course, they're still going to be only two games up. They have to win two more. They have to win three games in a row to win this series. In your opinion, Eric, do the Warriors, the champs from last year, still have a shot?
Absolutely, they still have a shot. Absolutely. They, I mean, just look at their home record this year. Like you said, I agree. They're going to go out and win tonight. Can they get the one road win? Right. I know their record on the road is one of the worst world records I've ever seen in all the years watching basketball against the spread and straight up for this good of a basketball team. But can they get the one road win? You know, a lot of people are going back to the game. The Lakers took Memphis out of the playoffs last series and LeBron turned it on. He had all those points and he was just dominant. And I don't think that's comparable to what's going to transcribe 2 days from now. Assuming they win tonight, I don't think that's comparable because Golden State's on a different level than Memphis. So I think Golden State still definitely has a good shot to win the series. And to get him at plus 350 right now, I mean, if you money line parlay the next three games, assuming they win all three, the payout's not 350. So I think there's actually some value in taking them to win the series.
I love that. Another way to look at that series too, Eric, is I think you could still get plus money for the Lakers winning the series in six games. Lakers are probably going to be favorites in that game six, assuming that the Warriors win tonight. So, you know, maybe a decent bet is to take Lakers plus money in game six if you like the Lakers. Of course, the Golden State Warriors, I agree with you, still a shot. I think their small ball could really throw off the Lakers. They just have to stick with that. You know, they have to stick with who they are, pass, transition, because they get to that half court offense against the Lakers defense, and I don't think they can do much against, you know, the size advantage. LeBron's defense IQ is insane. So you know, they're gonna have to go back to traditional hyper speed Warriors offense, if you ask me. But you can never count that team out, right? This is still the champs from last season, so they're still going to be inspired and motivated to get there. Let's get to the NBA title and the NBA finals. Who do you got, Rocco, to win it all in the end? Who's winning the NBA finals?
Well, I hate taking a favorite, but because that's not me, especially my future bets. You can see the hat I have on, Kansas City. That was my baseball play this year, which hasn't panned out too well, but I hate taking favorites. I don't see anybody beating Denver. And when I give you my reasoning, you're going to be like, well, that's pretty square. Home court. Nobody's going to be able to beat them in Denver. Nobody's been able to go into Denver and beat them all season for a long time now. It's a tough place to play. The thing about Denver is they're not a flashy team. They don't have the big names. They don't create headlines opposed to teams like the Warriors, the Lakers, Boston, your favorite team. So Denver's my pick. And ironically, if you bet them right now to win the Western Conference, they're plus 120. And this is before they complete the Phoenix series. And I think there's some good value there because assuming the Lakers win one of the next three games, Denver's going to be a decent favorite, I would assume, in the next series. That's kind of a bet I was looking at. But, yeah, my pick right now would be the Denver Nuggets to go all the way.
Yeah, I would love to see Denver go all the way. You know, Jokic, I mean, right now, it's hard to say any one player in the NBA is better than Nikola Jokic. You know, just the way that he plays game to game, how he just does absolutely everything for his team. And it turns out he can even play a little defense here and there, which is a good thing to see from Jokic in the playoffs. But I don't hate that pick at all, man. And I totally agree with you. I think even in this series, if the Suns had home court advantage, I think the Suns could win this series, but they don't.
Absolutely.
You know, they got to go up to that altitude, that a raucous crowd in Denver, and the half-court offense for Denver, how fluid they can be, all the shooters they have. When Michael Porter Jr. is going off too, because you know Jamal Murray and Jokic are going to get theirs, right? So if KCP is getting his, Michael Porter Jr., it is insanely hard to stop. And then we
don't forget Bruce Brown.
Bruce Brown too, absolutely. He's a Swiss Army knife, right? That guy can do anything for you as well. Just a hard-working dude off the bench.
Absolutely.
So they're a deep team. They have a significant home court advantage. So I don't disagree with you at all. Right now, I'd probably take the Lakers because I love their momentum. I just love the way that they're playing as a team. I think that means a lot of this time in the postseason. But, you know, so, do I want the Lakers over Denver? I sure as hell don't. And I do think that Denver matches up against the Lakers better than any team left in the NBA playoffs, as far as the size that they can bring and how seamless that they are and how confident they are with their half-court offense. So, that would be a terrific matchup, Denver's half-court offense against the Lakers' half-court defense, two very elite units in that
regard. Elite versus elite. Yeah, absolutely.
So I would just love to see that from that perspective. Okay, actually, one more NBA question for you, because you probably saw me on Twitter last night fired up about those Boston Celtics. I've been questioning the Celtics all year, Eric, because I just, you know, they lost Ime Udoka. Everyone just kind of forgets about that, you know, and they were the number one offense for long stretches. We know they can play defense. They're super talented and deep, but there's something missing with this team. It's like, to me, I mean, I have my thoughts and opinions, but what are you seeing about the Boston Celtics and the meltdowns that we're seeing from them? We saw it against the Hawks. Now we're seeing it again against the 76ers.
You said people forgot about you, the Udoka firing. I was one of them. I completely forgot that happened this year. But you're right. They're missing that. When you explained why you like Denver and why you think Denver could go all the way and they match up well with the Lakers, is the exact reasoning the Celtics have problems. They're not a team. They have a bunch of very, very good players to great players. Tatum's unbelievable. When he runs down the court, it's almost like he's got ice skates on, and it's almost like a ballet. It's unbelievable to watch. But that's all Boston has. They have a bunch of guys that are really good. They don't play as a team. That's what Denver does. That's what the Lakers do. That's what the Warriors have done for years. They play as a team, and that's why a lot of people are against Phoenix right now. That's not a team. When your top two scorers combine for 96 points, that's not a team, and that's the problem with Boston. I've been watching it all year. And as far as falling apart in games, it's nothing new. I mean, yeah, you can go back to the Atlanta series, but I go back to right when the All-Star break started, and they were blowing leads left and right. They were still winning the games, so it wasn't talked about as much. But if you go back in those box scores and you go rewatch a lot of those replays in the second half of the season when it first started, Boston was blowing leads. It was nothing unusual for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I love what you said. It's almost like we're fans of each other, thinking the same way. Because you know, as good as Boston is, right? Like, you look at teams like the Warriors, they know who the man is on that team. It's Steph Curry, right? They have great on-court leadership. Even the Miami Heat, everybody's running through the energy of Jimmy Butler. The Lakers is still LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Denver's Jokic. You know, the Celtics is like, at points, it's like Jaylen Brown has a great game. Sometimes Jason Tatum has a great game sometimes, but it's like, who is out there to like yell at everybody else and take charge? And there's really not that guy on that team just yet. And it's a young team. I think Tatum's like 24 or something, you know, he's still like a young guy, but like, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're going to get to this point in the NBA playoffs and you expect to win a title, somebody has to bring that intangible dog on the court. And you know, we're even seeing it right now for Philly. Embiid kind of quiet, Harden kind of quiet, but PJ Tucker getting in his players' faces, a guy like that can make a huge difference in big moments for these teams. So I love what you said. I don't think they're a very fluid team, and I think that's going to hurt them in the end. They're certainly in trouble in that series against the 76ers. Okay, let's move on to baseball because I love the picture putting out for baseball. You have a deep understanding, and I'll be really transparent with you. I'm putting out very few plays in baseball this season because I got wrecked last summer in baseball. I think I bet on it a little too much. Maybe trying to go about those psychological angles too, which is a little bit harder in baseball, right? Because it's so statistically heavy. Tell the audience a little bit about your process, about how you bet baseball, the things you look for, your favorite bets, etc.
That's the problem of baseball. The mental side of the handle, handicapping that we apply to NBA, to NFL, a lot of those angles don't necessarily apply to baseball, so it makes it a little harder. So you have to rely on the numbers. And unfortunately, that's when the variance kicks in. You can use today for as an example. The Dodgers don't hit lefties. They have not hit lefties all season. They scored 6 runs off Miley today, I want to say. I mean, they clobbered them. Yep. And that's the issue with baseball. You have to rely on the numbers more so than that. One of my favorite angles is, people laugh at me when I say it, is the day-night angle. So I played professional highlight, like I said, for 6 years. And we had amateur. We had a matinee performance and we had an evening performance. I'm a night person. I stay up late. I go to bed 12, 1 o'clock, you know, get up 9, 10, 11, somewhere in those ranges. And our matinee performance started at noon. So my preparation for a matinee performance and evening performance were completely different. And I try and apply it to baseball all the time. It's one of the first stats I look at. How does a pitcher pitch in day games? How does a pitcher pitch in night games? And same for the teams. What's their record during the day? What's their record at night? Last year, one of my favorite bets was Houston during the day. It was money. And their record at night was still good. They're defending champs for a reason. But their record during the day was great. And for me, it's all about the preparation. Arriving at a stadium at 9 a.m. opposed to arriving at a stadium at 3 p.m. is completely different. You know, these players are creatures of habit. They didn't get to this point in their career by not being creatures of habit. A prime example is Tom Brady. They say his bedtime is 8 o'clock every night. And I don't think they're kidding. Because if you go back, since he's turned 40 years old, primetime regular season night games, the man has an abysmal record. Well, it's past his bedtime. Like, we're all laughing about it, but it's the truth. The man's sleeping right now. And now he has to go play a football game. So that's one of my favorite angles I use for baseball. I forgot what else you asked.
Any like favorite bets or like angles that you typically look at more than others as far as, you know, like your actual wagers go? Like you're like NRFI guy? Are you a totals guy?
I would say I don't really have a favorite bet. I have taken no runs first inning out of my equation. I think I picked a good year to do it because those numbers are really bad this year overall in this league. So I chose a good year to take that out of my bets. And as far as having a favorite bet, I wouldn't say I have one. I more or less like to fade teams.
Yeah.
For example, a team this year I've been fading left and right are the San Francisco Giants because they're still getting priced. The team that won 101 games 2 years ago, they're still getting priced the same way. And eventually the market's going to catch up. Like you said, they're sharp, but they haven't caught up yet.
Haven't caught up yet. Okay, that's a great segue into my next question for you. Let's start with the teams that you would fade. Are there any teams that you're either trying to fade most of the season or you're starting to see that this could be a great fade candidate coming up soon because they're showing signs of regression?
That's a great question. I hate to start with this team, but my Royals, I thought they were going to have a good year this year. They were my team going into this year. And people are like, oh, you think they can win the World Series? And I'm like, no, obviously not. They're over under is set in the 60s for a reason. They're not a good baseball team. I thought they'd be more competitive, probably the best word to use. And they're not. Teams to fade going forward. I actually have teams that I like going forward. There's one specific team I've been targeting every day and I'm going to keep targeting is the Washington Nationals. Mm. They have a pitching staff that they've been really good so far this year and a lineup that doesn't really have any standout names, but they're scoring runs. They're consistently hitting the ball. That's actually
and they're getting priced, right? And they're getting priced like a horrendous dog. Yeah. So, right. They're starting to pull out some games. I've seen that recently.
They've won 3-1-1 games in their last 10. They've made two dramatic comebacks. They're doing things bad teams don't do. Bad teams don't make comebacks. They get behind right. 3 or 4 runs. They can just leave the stadium. The game's over.
Right.
They're up by 1 run. Bad teams, you know they're still going to lose because that's just what bad teams do. And that's not what the Nationals have showed me the last, I would say 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. So that's a team I'm high on going forward. I'm going to consistently fade the Giants. And biasly, I'm hoping the Royals get a little better. But they're probably a good team to keep fading as well going forward because the pitching.
Yeah, I'll give you a few teams. The Pirates have seen some good results recently. I guess not like very recently, but to start the season. Tampa Bay Rays, obviously, just absolutely going off, leading the American League. And, you know, the Dodgers are still, I think a lot of people expected the Dodgers to regress. They're not as crisp as they have been in the past. But, you know, they're still winning games. They're coming back in games. Those three teams, do you expect any one of those teams to really regress and kind of fall off a little bit from the performances we're seeing?
Dodgers, absolutely not. They still have the starting pitching. Tony Gonsolin came back last week.
Yeah.
Dustin May has been pretty good this year. Kershaw looks like Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw. So I don't expect any regression there. As far as Pittsburgh goes, they're the tough one because ever since O'Neill Cruz got hurt when he was sliding into home, you know, 3 weeks ago against, I think it was Colorado, their offense has just been abysmal. They've scored 2 runs or less now in 10 straight games. So they're already starting their regression.
Yep.
But the division they're in, man, none of them are any good. The Cardinals are not the Cardinals. The Cubs started out, they were hot. They were one of the hottest teams in baseball the first 2 weeks. I think part of that was they had a very easy schedule. They started to regress already, but the Reds are not very good. The Brewers don't hit the ball consistently enough. So Pittsburgh might hang around longer than people think due to the division they're in.
Yeah, I bet on the Rockies and Pirates over 8.5 today. I loved that play because Pirates are way overdue to show some offense. You know, Senzatela, you know, he had one great start, right? But that's just one good start. In the past, he's lacked a lot of command. I forget who the Pirates had on the mound today, but not somebody who I would trust. And we're at 4-3 now in the bottom of the ninth inning. And it's like, you know, hey, Pirates, could you please put some more points up on the board? It's getting ridiculous. But, you know, that's just how baseball is, right? It's like there's a lot of streaks, a lot of up and downs. You kind of have to ride these teams when they're showing some consistency, which is tough to find from any Major League Baseball team these days. Eric, it's this time went so fast and we went through a lot of different things so far in this show. So I clearly have to have you back to maybe have a more specific thing that we talk about and really get into, because I think you have a lot to offer. Before I let you go, any bets that you would look at for, I don't know if you looked ahead to Friday yet, but any futures, anything that you want to tell the audience, like a free play or free pick or free information that you'd like to give them so they can win more money in that bankroll of theirs?
I have 2 baseball futures, yes. I think I already said it. The Nationals, if you can get your hands on a Nationals win total currently, I could not find it last night. I could not find it today. I know during football season, they update the win totals every week. I assume they did the same thing with baseball. I just can't seem to find one. So if you can find an updated win total out there, I would take Washington's over. The one I thought I found, it said 59.5. I can't see them winning under 60 games. You have to be really bad to win under 60 games. And they're, like I said, they're not the mark of that bad of a team. And then my second is another future bet, actually, would be the Blue Jays to win the AL. The starting pitching they've gotten the last week, if that keeps up the rest of the season, I hate making a statement like this. I don't know who can beat them in the AL. They're plus 650 right now to win the AL. And if the starting pitching keeps up with that unbelievable lineup they have, they're going to be a really tough out come October.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, they certainly have the firepower, but that's what they've been missing, right? They've been missing those reliable arms. And if they can find that, like you said, I love that. But that's great value, too, at this point in the season. I mean, do you ever wait until a team, like, starts to lose a little bit and then you jump on it? Or, I mean, I guess you just have to because they could also win a lot more, right? And then your value goes down. So I guess plus 650 feels like pretty damn good value to me to take it now.
The cool part about putting a future at this point in the season is you're still getting good value there. If you wait another month and a half or wait till the All-Star break and the Blue Jays do keep winning, you're going to get nowhere near 650. And that number is just going to keep dwindling as they're winning.
100%. I mean, 100%.
The goal is to get a team on a losing streak, then to put the future bet in. But
yeah,
in this instance, it's earlier in the season, so I think you're still getting a good number.
Awesome. I love it, man. You've been fantastic on this show. You're fantastic at the Odds Breakers. My audience, please check out at Trust Rocco. Go to www.theoddsbreakers.com and check out his articles. It's every day, I think. I mean, it's constant from you, Eric. You're all over it, which I love because since I left the Odds Breakers, they need writers like you to fill that space and put in the content, and you're doing that and even more so. So a pleasure to have you on the show, man. I want to get you back soon.
Absolutely, Chris. Thank you again for having me on. It was an absolute honor. Yes, go to the Odds Breakers. I've been producing articles almost on the daily. I really enjoy writing them. I put that in my bio. I really enjoy doing the write-ups. I really enjoy the whole process. So like I always say, when you're getting my picks, you're getting my heart and my feelings put into these picks. They're my true picks.
Thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you soon.
Thanks again, Chris. Bye.